Okay, Chefra. Last time we had a chabura was a while ago. It was on a Wednesday, and Dr. Chudnov actually spoke about some of the aspects, the biological aspects of nida for us. I just want to make one or two brief ha'aros relating to that sugya. The Gemara on the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beis tells us that there are locations within the woman's body. There is the cheder and the prosdar and the aliyah. Now, the Gemara discusses the details over here, and the Gemara adds one important detail, which is that there is a lull that is pasuach between the aliyah and the prosdar. Right? There's a little passage right between the aliyah and the prosdar. Now, the real issue to define is what is cheder, what is prosdar, and what is aliyah. So, just ad sheyadi magaas over here, this is actually a complicated topic. It seems to me that there is a very large machlokes between the Rambam and the rest of Judaism. And let's say it like that. The Rambam, first of all, understands that the aliyah is the ovaries. Right? The aliyah is the ovaries, according to the Rambam. And for the Rambam, it's the ovaries with the fallopian tubes that extend from the ovaries. That's what the aliyah is called. For the other Rishonim, the aliyah is not the ovaries. The aliyah is the urinary bladder. Now, the other Rishon don't say this beferish. The one Rishon that really says this beferish is Rabbeinu Chananel in Bava Basra and Daf Chaf Dalet. He says beferish that the aliyah is the urinary bladder, but if the aliyah is the urinary bladder, so then life is much easier. Now, be it as it may, whether the aliyah is the urinary bladder or the aliyah is the ovaries, Tosis asks Akasha, he says, how can the Mishnah say that Dam Ha'aliyah is Tahar, right? Even though it looks like blood, so how could the Dam Ha'aliyah be Tahar? That's Tosis's Kasha. So Tosfos has two answers, L'cha'ora. The first answer of Tosis is that it's tahar because the Torah says mimakar dameha, and only demei makar is going to be tamei. Meaning, according to Tosis, the aliyah is not the makar. The Torah says that a woman is only tamei with blood that emanates from the makar. The aliyah is not the makar, according to Deya 1 in Tosis. But Tosis has a second Deya, inami zaktosis, Dameha ksiv, mimkar dameha in the plural, that implies an area that's mitsuyin sham harbe damim. Uba aliyah leka ela min echad. Tosis' second answer sounds like the aliyah is part of the makar, but there's a gezeiras hakosav that in order to be tameh, it has to be an area that contains many different hues and shades of blood. And the aliyah, there's only min echad of blood. And because there's only min echad of blood, that's why it's going to be tahar. So this issue, I think, might be relevant in terms of the definition of aliyah also. Right? Is the dam ha'aliyah blood from the makar? Is it not blood from the makar? Tosis has two opinions about that. The Rambam solution is that dam ha'aliyah is dam maka, right? That's the Rambam's Lashon. It sounds like it's not from the Makar at all, but this issue, again, is two opinions in Tosis. That's point one, just to think about, again, without coming to any real clarity. Point two to discuss is that there seems to be another huge machlokes between the Rishonim. You see, the best write-up that I found on this topic is in the English language Arts Gro Mishnayis. On this Mishnah, the Mishnah Yud Zayin Mabes, it's like Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. So the Arts Gro Mishnayis has the following discussion. They say that there's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, And that machlokus relates to how do I define the prozdar. Rashi understands that the prozdar, and this is Rashi as the Art School interprets, and it's based on some articles that Professor Leo Levy wrote in the journal Asya. But Rashi understands that the prozdar, that Rashi understands that the prozdar is what Dr. Chudnov was saying. The prozdar is really the area between the labia or menura. Meaning, right, if you remember the way the osam makom looks in the woman, you have the labia majora, which is like the big skins, the big folds of skin on the outside, that's really the outside of the body. Inside that, there's reddish skin, the labia minora. For Rashi, that labia minora is the prozdar. The urinary bladder opens up into the labia minora. And if aliyah is the urinary bladder, so then I can easily distinguish between area that is min ha'aliyah milafnim and min ha'aliyah v'lachutz. Because I could say, okay, the urinary bladder opens up in the labia minora, and it's great. Inside, closer towards the inside of the woman, that's going to be min ha'aliyah v'lachutz. That's going to be tamei, vadai. From the outside, there's a chshash, right? If it's more external to the labia, to the urethra, to the urinary tract, so then I could say, oh, maybe the blood is coming from the urinary tract. That's Shitas Rashi, and that's the easiest way to understand the sugya. The problem with this mahalach would be that what we're saying is that according to Rashi, the prozdar is basically very, very small. It's the area inside the labia minora, and that would really mean that all you have to do for a bediga is just wipe yourself a tiny bit over there. You don't have to go deeply at all. Ki hu zeh. So Rashi on Yud Zayin. So the lashon of bedika and kinuach that the Rishonim play with. Yes. Yes, that might sound that way. The problem is that the Gemara Mem Aleph about Makom Shashamish Dosh, this is what we were trying to discuss after, becomes very difficult. So, again, I know that the details of this might be a little bit boring, and it's not the type of thing, like if your wife asks you what you learned in yeshiva today, this isn't the most pleasant conversation to have at dinner time. But I think this is a very important topic. For Rashi, it would seem the Pashtus in Rashi is that the only thing that is called the Bayis Hachitzon, the prozdar, anything beyond what we call the vagina, for Rashi is cheder. Right? And the dam from there is tame. That's what the Artsgur Mishnayis points out. Now, im kenim hadavarim, besides the fact that bedikas are very makal, any blood inside the vagina is very machmir. We'd have to be machmir on blood, even if it's not from the endometrial lining. No? That would be a little bit intense. There might be another explanation, though, within Rashi. And this is found in the footnotes of the Art School Mishnayis, which, again, we're quoting only primary sources here. Right? The footnotes of the Art School Mishnayis point out as follows, that maybe the pshat is that when Rashi says that the prozdar is that area inside the labia minora, what Rashi means is that that area is the prozdar and the area further up is also the prozdar. Aye, what about the lol? Right, the lol should be pasuach over there. So apparently there's some medical condition that if you get an infection in the urinary tract, so that might lead to a bit of a hole in your urethra. And when there's a hole in the urethra, so what might happen is that blood from the urinary tract will end up in the vagina, higher up in the vagina. If that's the case, and the Art School Mishnayis conjectures that maybe before they had antibiotics, there was a greater incidence of infections, So if that's the case, what Rashi is saying is that the cheder, excuse me, the prosdar for Rashi, right, might be the vagina, right? And how does the lul open up? The lul can open up into the vagina in this situation when there is some sort of infection. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Nishmas Avram as saying the following. Usually it's understood that Rashi says that the prosdar is between the labia and menorah, and the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam in Perakei, the Rambam tells us that the tsavar harechem is called the prosdar, no? And usually it's understood that the tsavar harechem is the cervix. And usually it's understood that there's a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wants to say that he thinks that when the Rishonim use the word tsavar harechem, they don't mean cervix, the way we use tsavar harechem in modern Hebrew, but tsavar harechem for the Rishonim means vagina. If that's the case, then what would emerge is that there's really no machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. The Nishmas Avram, right at the beginning, right, his first essay in Hilchos Nida, quotes this from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He rejects it because, well, one second, if the Tzavar Harechem is the vagina, like what we're saying, and that's called the prosdar, well, how does the lul open up into the prosdar? According to what I saw in this Artsger Mishnayis, primary source, that sometimes there's an infection, so that might solve all the problem. If I remember correctly, last time I learned Nida, I had a conversation with Dr. David Shabtai, who's not in yeshiva anymore. We miss him, because he's great for this type of stuff. So, Rabbi Dr. David Shabtai, I think, felt that this might be the pashtus. I didn't write this down in my notes from the last time I learned, but if I remember correctly, that was what he was inclined. Okay, so these are just some ha'aros, like, to complete the last topic that we had. Again, this is mamish nogei lamaisa, but we really don't know how to slice this one. Lamaisa, I don't think anyone is going to change and say that blood that emanates from the vagina is like dam that comes from the cheder. I don't think we'll say that. But maybe that's the pshat in Rashi. That would be a very, very big chumrah, but that, I think, is the pashtus. Okay, let's move on to the next introductory topic, which I think will be the last introductory topic before we get to the real issues in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, which is the chumrah of Reb Zeira ben Yisrael Hechmir al Atzman Afir Rose Tipus Dam Kechardo Yosha Solov Zayin Nekim. Chumrah of Reb Zeira comes in the Gemara right after Hiskin Rebbe Besados. The Gemara says that Reb Yehuda Hanasi made a takana Besados. So if you see dam one day, so you wait 6 days with that one day. You see dam 2 days, there's two different girsa'is in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, look in the Rashba, he has the both girsa'os. Some Rishonim say 2 days, you wait 5 days plus those two. Other Rishonim say you wait 6 days plus those two. The Rishonim all point out, the Tosas HaRosh has this on the page. There's also now a new edition of Tosas HaRosh. It's like a red book published by Mosada Rav Kook. It's very good. They point out that, and all the Rishonim say this, pe'echad, that when we talk about these days for Takana of Rebbe, these days have to be Nekiyim. The basic issue is that we're concerned that you saw Dam, the Dam might be Dam b'Yemei Ziva, and you're at least a Shomeres Yom Kenega Yom, so you need clean days. But maybe you're a Nida, so therefore we can't allow you to be with your husband till after 7 days. This is the Takana of Rebbe for the people besados. Now, the way Rashi has the Gemara, this takon is for the people in the sados, which means people who are amei ha'aretz. People who might make a mistake, they might not know, you may need it, you may ziva, it's a little bit complicated. That's why Rebbe made the takana. However, the Rush has a girsa, and it's found on the side of the Gemara also, in the brackets, that this was a takana that was made in Surah. That's just the place where they made the takana. It's not necessarily that Surah is a place of Amei Haaretz. This is relevant, of course, if you look in Tosas and Beitzon Davav and elsewhere, takanas that were made for our people who are Amei Haaretz, what about Bizman Hazeh? Do we assume those takanos still apply, or do we assume that there's a possibility that people became more learned over time? Tosis discusses that in Beis Adafav, but that would be relevant. L'maisa, be it as it may, according to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, one day or 2 days, you have to wait an additional 5 days or 6 days. Right? But 3 days, you have to wait 7 days. And then Reb Zera came along, and Reb Zera said that even if a woman sees Tipas Dam Kechardo, Yosheves Olav Zayin Nekiyim. It seems to me that there are three different ways to understand Chumrah de Reb Zera. Okay? The three ways are that it is a Takana of Chazal, which we will call a Gezera. That's way one. Way number two is Chumrah de Reb Zera is a Chshash. And way number three to explain it is that Chumrah de Reb Zera is not a takana, it's not a chshash, it's just a minhag. Okay? Let's start from the minhag approach, no? Minhag. Minhag means that the women did it. Right? This is what you teach all the kallahs, huh? It's your fault. The women started it, right? We would have had some kulas in Hilchos Nida, but it's your fault. Benos Yisrael, hechmir ala atzman. Okay? It's a minhag. Now, if it's a minhag, usually minhagim are binding. The Gemara in the Darim says that minhag is mitam neder, etc. But there are different types of minhagim, perhaps. There are certain minhagim that received rabbinic endorsement. Other minhagim didn't receive rabbinic endorsement. Even if a minhag is binding, right? But a minhag might have less stringency than something that is a real takana midrabanan, but one could contend that chumrah de Reb Zera is a minhag. If you want to know which Rishon says this explicitly, that it's a minhag, so I think the authority who says that is the Ravid, no? The Ravid at the beginning of Shar HaKsamim decides to argue with his father-in-law. The Ravid's father-in-law was also named Ravid. It's a little bit complicated, I guess, at the Shabbos. Ravid, what do you say? A little bit complicated, but the Ravid's father-in-law is the Ravid Baal HaEshkol. And the Ravid quotes from the Shver that the Baal HaEshkol says that the Dinim of Ksamim no longer apply Bizman Hazeh. And the Ravid says, like, dear father-in-law, I love you and all of that, but you must have been smoking something. It makes absolutely no sense. What do you mean? The Dinim of Ksamim don't apply Bizman Hazeh? How can you say that? It's against like 1,000 different Gemaras. And then at the very end, right, I think I gave you this Ravid on the Mar Makoma sheet. The very, very end, the Ravid says, oh, and by the way, it's not Shaykh to say this. Because Lamaisa were Machmir. Lamaisa benos Yisrael hechmir al atzman, right, and Minhag applies, and we're Machmir on Ksamim. So therefore, right, the Dinim of Ksamim have to apply Bizman Hazer. That's basically the discussion between the Ravid and the Shver, the Eshkol. A Kesem is a stain that doesn't have any sensation when it comes out, just blood. You find it on your underwear or the like. That's called a Kesem. The Eshkol says Ksamim don't apply Bizman Hazer. The Ravid says Shver, you are just totally off because L'maisa were Machmir on it, and that shows that it has to apply because Benos Yisrael Hechmir Atzman. Meaning it's all mikayach minhag, and the lashon of the Ravid is that minhag is milsehi. Minhagim are significant. That's what the Ravid says. There are Rishonim who go in a different direction than the Ravid. There are Rishonim who assume that Chumrah de Reb Zera is not a minhag, but it is a takana midrabanan. Meaning that the rabbis, subsequent to the minhag of the women, the rabbis decided they are going to endorse this practice. But that's what the Ramban says, and that's what the Sefer HaChinuch says, and that's what the Ritva writes on Daf Samach Vav. Originally, it was a practice that the women accepted, and then subsequently, they decided that, you know what, this is a good idea, and therefore we will institute this practice. Now, the problem is that rabbinic authority is limited, no? Rabbis, we usually don't teach about this in Smicha, but this is the truth, no? Rabbis can't do whatever they want. So how could they decide to suddenly asser everything? How could they do that? We know, Kodetikin Rabbanan Ke'en Doraisa Tikin. They can only make an Isser if it's similar to the din d'oraisa. What din d'oraisa is there that you see one drop of blood and it leads to shiva nikiyim? So the answer, Tosfos writes in Megillah Daf Chaf Ches, and this is one opinion in Rashi there, the answer is, oh, well, there is one type of Re'iyas Dam that could yield shiva nikiyim. And therefore, because of that, the Chachamim decided to make a low plug across the board, and any Re'iyas Dam yields shiva nikiyim. Since a woman, in the middle of her shiva nikiyim, if she has a drop of blood that comes out, she has to start counting again. So therefore, we have one type of Re'iyas Dam that causes shiva nikiyim. So the Chachamim have the authority to say, okay, now we're going to say all Re'iyas Dam gives shivas nikiyim, gives shiva nikiyim. My understanding of this is that this Mahalach and Tosfos, especially if I put it together with the Ramban and the Ritva, is a way of saying that this is a Gezeira D'Rabbanan. The Chachamim came and they said, you know what? It's Aser. One drop of blood, you need shiva nikiyim. I have to solve a technical problem. How can they do that? So I find the makar. I find the source that one drop of blood could lead to shiva nikiyim. And once I have that, so that's what gives the Chachamim the ability. Vaitosis asking Kasha, called the tikkun rabbonon ke'en d'oraisa tikkun. How can the rabbis make this gezeira? It's not in line with the rules of rabbinic authority. The answer is no, I found something. So I think that's pshat too. It's not just a minhag. The rabbis are paskining ice that you have to hold shiva nikiyim, but we have a technical issue. How do they solve it? Domani, however, that Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yonah have a third mahalach. It's not a minhag, it's not a gezeira, but it's a chshash d'rabbanon. Chshash means that we are really worried that this will yield shiva nikiyim. I saw one drop of blood. That's true. But what does that mean? That means that maybe I saw one drop of blood, but yesterday, Ken Zine, there was another drop of blood, and 2 days ago, there's another drop of blood. Oh, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. 3 means possibly Zovah Gedola, Minat Torah. So therefore, there's a Chshash D'Rabbanon. I'm saying that 1 = 3. No? That's mamash, the opposite of Christianity, this Svara. 1 = 3. That's the Yisod. One drop of blood is a chshash d'rabbanon that maybe there were 3 drops and therefore you're going to be tumei, right? The Chachamim instituted tumah in this case because of the chshash that maybe you're zavah gedayla. The Rabbeinu Yonah says the same type of idea there in Brachas. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that he thinks that this one drop of blood, maybe it is an accumulation of 3 days worth of blood, right? You become tummy technically when the blood leaves the bayis hapnimi and it goes into, it's still befnim in the isha, you're still tameya. Maybe a drop or a third of a drop, a third of a drop, right? A third of a drop came out and then it all came out in one shot, but is the accumulation of 3 days worth? So that's why you're tummy. But it's a chshash d'rabbanon rather than a gezeira d'rabbanon. Again, so it seems to me that there are 3 different ways of looking at Chumrah d'Reb Zeira so far. Maybe we'll come up even with a 4th way in a few minutes. Now, L'may Nafkemina, is it a Gezeira d'Rabbanon? Is it a Chshash d'Rabbanon? Is it just a Minhag? So, if you look in Rav Wozner's Shi'urim, he raises the following question. He says, I don't understand. How could you have a thing called Chumrah d'Reb Zeira? L'maisa, we know that the Taz tells us in 3 places that the Chachamim are not able to make Dinim d'Rabbanon that run counter to Dinim min HaTorah. They can't make Dinim d'Rabbanon that run counter to Dinim min HaTorah. Since min HaTorah, there's a din of Nida versus Zava, how can we just machavek? How can we just get rid of the entire din of Nida min HaTorah? It's like totally dismiss it. How can you do that? Right? The Taz says that Chachamim are not allowed to do that. Yeah? What?
Where?
So Taz says this in Yerideya Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. The Taz says this, I'll give you one take case, I'll tell you. Yerideya Kuf Yud Zayin is Orchain Tov Kuf Pehei, and it's in Choshem Mishpat Simon Beis. Those are three places where the Taz says this. In Orchain Tov Kuf Pehei, the case is like this. We know that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Right? When we're showing up Chalul Yos B'Shas, we don't blow shofar. Why not? It's a gezeira that you might carry. How come I don't do Mila on Shabbos? Gezeira I might carry. Zok Taz, oh, well, the Chacham can't make a gezeira not to do Mila on Shabbos, because the Pasuk says, B'yom Hashmin Yimah B'Sar Allah, so a Chazan understand B'yom Afilu B'Shabbos. So therefore you can't make it, right? Rabbinic authority is limited. You can't make a gezeira not to do Mila on Shabbos. That's what the Taz says. Now, if the Taz is correct, that you can't make gezeiras against Pesukim in the Torah, how do you have this? So, it's a good kasha. Nonetheless, I think the kasha is better than any answer that you could give. But what I might argue, though, is that if it's just a minhag, it's not that the Chachamim are making a gezeira against the dinim in the Torah. The Taz's whole point is that rabbinic authority is limited. But individuals, of course, can come up with a chumrah on their own, right, to be machmir on something. If Benos Yisrael Hechmil Atzman is just a minhag that the Noshim had, the way we're saying the Ravid says it, by the way, the Bahamar also has this, right? If that's the case, if it's just a minhag, so maybe you can have a minhag against the Pasuk in the Torah. It's just it's a minhag, it's like a private thing. Later on, it was a private thing that spread to lots of people, but the rabbis never endorsed it. So therefore, we don't run counter to the Yesod of the Taz. Now, this question as to whether it's a minhag or a chumrah, excuse me, so whether it's a minhag or a gezeira or a chash, those are three possibilities, domani that the Rambam is worth looking into. Okay? Yeah?
We see the Rabbanim don't have the authority to make a private account of the Torah. We just have a former individual.
So I, as an individual, I don't have to do everything. Right? In other words, I, as a rabbi, when Rabbanim can make dinim, but a minhag isn't really a din. A minhag is something just that I'm not doing. So I decide not to do it. So I'm not doing it. Right? It's not... I don't think the same limitation of rabbinic authority applies to minhagim. Again, that's what seems to me to be the best answer to this question. Rav Wader himself has a different mahalach in his shiurim, and Osvav in his shiurim has a different approach, but it seems to me that this approach works. Rav Wader has like a lumdisha approach. He could look over there. Let's learn Rambam together. Rambam Perek Yudav Halacha Gimel tells us that Bimei Chach Meha Talmud, so they had questions about Re'iyas Dam, and the vestals all got messed up because not every woman was able to count Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva. Therefore, they decreed Shiyehu Ko Yemei Ha'isha Ki Yemei Ziva, Sav Yuko Dam Shetera Safik Dam Zivas. The Od Hechmir Benos Yisrael Atzman Chumri Yisera Alzu V'Nago Kulam B'Chol Machom Sheyesh Yisrael Shekobas Yisrael Shetera Dam Afil Aras Elatipa Dam Kechardol Bovad U'Pasak Adam Sofer Selo Shivas Yemei Nekiyim. Whether you see one day, or 2 days, or 7 days, you still need Shiva Nikiyam. So the Rambam is telling me that the Bimei Chach Meha Talmud, so they made Hechmiru Chachomim B'Dover. That's Chumri de Rebbe. The Od Hechmiru B'Nos Yisrael Ala Atzman Chumri Yisera Alzu. That what? That even Tipas Dam Kecharado requires Shivat Nikim. That's what the Rambam has in Perek Yudal of Halacha Dalet. Now, there are two interesting things within the Rambam's presentation of Chumrei de Reb Zeira. One thing that's interesting is that the Rambam tells us right here, Perek Yudal of Halacha Vav, that Chumrei de Reb Zeira only applies to Dam, but does not apply to Dam Tohar. Remember, Dam Tohar is after you have a baby. So if you have a boy, your Tomei 7 days, and 33 days you have Yemei Tohar. A girl, your Tomei 14 days, you have 66 days Yemei Tohar, right? Those are Pesukim in the Pentateuch. says the Rambam that the din of Dam Tohar was not part of Chumrah Reb Zeira. That was a special Chumrah of Gaonim. There are Rishonim who disagree with this Nakuda. If you look in the Ritva on Daf Samach Vav, that same Ritva that I quoted, the last one in that Ritva says, oh, you know what? There's a chshash that women might make a mistake between Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva. And based on that chshash, we say that Chumrah Reb Zeira. And therefore, Zakh the Ritva, based on Achshash, also Dam Tohar is going to be Tamei Bizman Hazeh. It's Nichlal in Chumrah Reb Zeira. No? But the Ritva writes there in Daf Samach Vav. That's because Domani, that for the Ritva, Chumrah Reb Zeira is Achshash. What does Achshash mean? I might make a mistake. Right? One might equal three. And you might not be sure. You may neither, you may Ziva, you might be making lots of mistakes. One might equal three, so it's Dam Tohar also. If I'm worried that you might make a mistake, right? A woman can make a mistake between day 7 and day 8. The born on day 8 is Tar, the born on day 7 is Tamei. So therefore, Chshash, Zach the Ritva, it's all part of Chumrah Reb Zeira. Now, this is all the Ritva Lashitaso, that Chumrah Reb Zeira means that the rabbis made a takana because of these Chshashais to be Machmir. Right? That's all in the Ritva. But for the Rambam, Chumrah Reb Zeira is not about rabbis. It's about what the women decided. The women did. And the Chumrah Reb Zeira does not extend to Yemei Tohar. That's point one in the Rambam. Yeah?
Is Ritva saying that it's based on a chashash or that it's a takana? Because earlier Rabbi said that it's all a takana.
So it's a takana to, I would say, Rashi's chshash doesn't mean it's not a takana. I can have a takana based on a chshash also. It's a chshash rachok,
right. But
the rabbis decided based on a chshash we'll make a takana. The different, right? Both chshash and takana, I think, are within the realm of the chachamim paskening on it. So that is point one. Point two, worth noting, the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph. Right, we're only learning Perkei Avos of Yisrei Biya Halacha Yud Aleph. So the Rambam writes that the dinim of Ksamei Bizman Hazeh is like we said, and any kesem that's tahar is tahar. But if there's a kesem that's tamei, zok the Rambam, kosh amarna tameya, if the kesem does not have a shiur kedei lachosh lezivus, if there's not enough blood that there's a concern of zav, of zivos, in that kesem, so then you count shiva yamim miyom shenimsa bo hakesem. You count 7 days from the kesem. But if there is kidei lochosh lezivos, so then you count from the day after you find the kesem. Now, generally speaking, we have a concept called a hefsek tahara. Hefsek tahara means that I have to count day zero, no? After the blood stops, I have to ascertain that the blood stopped, and that becomes day zero, and then the next day is day one. Zok the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph that Ksumim don't require Hefsek Tahara unless it's the type of Kesem that has a Chshash of Zivos with it. The Ravid jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and the Rambam says, no, Ksumim require Hefsek Tahara. Now, what does this have to do with anything? So, again, perhaps the issue is as follows. Perhaps the Ravid is Lashitaso, that the Ravid is saying that Ksumim are part of Chumrah Reb Zeira. That's why the Ravid argued on his Shver, on the Baal HaEshkol. And if it's part of Chumrah Reb Zeira, so Chumrah Reb Zeira requires Hefsek Tahara and Shiva Nekiyim, Ksumim requires Hefsek Tahara and Shiva Nekiyim. The Rambam, though, holds that, you know what, Ksumim are not part of Chumrah de Reb Zeira. Why not? Only, says the Rambam, a kesem that there's yesh lochosh lezivos, is there a concern of Chumrah de Reb Zeira. It seems that what the Rambam is saying is like this, that the women recognized that they might not be able to distinguish between nidus and zivos. So therefore, in a case that it's possibly zivos, they'd be machmir. But by dam tohar, that's not possibly zivos. So therefore, they're not machmir. And ksumim is not possibly zivos. Therefore, also, the women are not machmir. For the Rambam, the idea of Chumrah de Reb Zeira, I think, is a concern that the women had because the previous year was so complicated. because you may need this and you may zivas is so complicated. So whenever there's a concern that might be ziva, so therefore we have chumrid reb zera. But if there's no concern of and chumrid zera means have sektar shem nekiyim. But if I have a kesem and there's no possible concern of ziva with this kesem, so chumrid reb zera doesn't apply. Ad kan divrei Rambam the way I understand it. Okay, again this is all. This is all because I like saying something new sometimes, as opposed to what I did a few years ago. But lemaisa, the real issue over here, whether it's a minhag or a chumrah, excuse me, whether it's a minhag or a gezeira or a chshash, or the Rambam's version chumrah is probably closer to minhag than it is to anything else. This issue is relevant for the famous discussion of Orthodox infertility. Okay, let's just talk about this very briefly. There are certain women who ovulate too early in the cycle. Generally speaking, women will ovulate around day 13, day 14, which is when you go to the mikveh, because in the normal situation, you have 5 plus 7, you go to the mikveh after day 12, and you go into the mikveh right at the time she's ovulating, and then you can become pregnant. If a woman is ovulating early, so then it's very difficult. It's very difficult. What do you do? So, is there room to be makel when the doctors are saying that the woman is ovulating early? Ayin igris Moshe, chelak yoridei simin sadi gimel. The Moshe Feinstein writes that people come to him to ask a shayla all the time, and people come to Rav Henkin to ask a shayla all the time, and they don't really want to answer, because it's a very difficult thing to be makel on, very, very difficult to be makel. He has a shtickle svara to be makel, not the svara that the shul thought it was. He has a different svara, but he doesn't want to write it. If you come and you'll speak to me, I'll tell you the answer. Okay, that's what Rav Moshe basically writes in that tshuva. Years ago, when I was born, it's a long time ago, so my family lived in Baltimore. My father speaks Yiddish. My father's chavrusa didn't speak Yiddish. My father's both my parents and my father's chavrusa and his wife were having difficulty having children. My parents were married for a number of years before my sister was born, and my father's chavrusa also was having difficulty having children. So my father's chavrusa decided that he's going to go to Reb Moshe Feinstein to ask him the shayla. So he went to Reb Moshe. And Reb Moshe basically said, you know, he can't be makel, but they should keep on taking the basal body temperature, finding out when she's ovulating, how early she's ovulating. He kept on draining around for like a year and a half, go back and forth. He didn't want to be makel on the shayla. He keeps on going back and forth. Finally, after all this time, so the way my father told me the story, Reb Moshe felt that you can be makel on this shayla. And the reason to be makel on the shayla is, right, in Lumdus, that if you assume Chumrid Reb Zera is a minhag, and the minhag ends up running counter to the Ikar Hadin of Pru Revu, because what, you're going to have the Chumrid Reb Zera, that means you can't have children. So we never have minhagim that run up against Ikar Hadin, no? If a minhag interferes with a mitzvah, so we basically, right, throw away the minhag. According to at least many Rishonim, Rav Gustman has an essay about this in the last piece in his Sefer on Kedushin. He points out there's a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid about Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach has the Gid HaNosha, which is an Issur D'oraisa. There is the Gid HaPnimi, which is an Issur D'rabbanan. And there's what's called Shuman HaGid, the fat of the Gid HaNosha. Any of you guys were ever with one of these tours and went with Rav Ben Chaim to... Right, you ever saw that? It's like really cool. He like points out what's the gid. The gid hapnimi is the rabbanan, and the shuman hagid is the din drab, is a minhag. And the Rambam writes that when you do tzliyas karban pesach, you don't remove the shuman hagid, because since shuman hagid is a minhag, and the din is that the karban pesach requires tzliya rosh al krov al kirbo, so therefore you don't remove the shuman hagid. The Ravid says, if I would be with the Rambam meaning a karban pesach, I'd take my karban pesach, throw it against him. That's what the Ravid says. I'm not making it up. That's what the Ravid writes. So now, what's the issue? So if Gustman says the issue might be what happens when the minhag comes and interferes with the Ikar Hadin. In the situation when the minhag is interfering with the Ikar Hadin, you have Shuman Hagir, but you also have a mitzvah of Tzliyas Karban Pesach. So the Rambam says, you know what you do? You throw away the minhag in that case. The minhag doesn't apply when it comes up against the Ikar Hadin. Rav Shechter points out from the Tziv in the beginning of Brachas, no, in Davav. The Gemara in Brachas says This is something that if you'll quote me as saying this, I'll deny that I said it, but I'll say it anyway. The Gemara of Brachos on Daf Vav says that if a person usually goes to shul to daven with a minyan and doesn't show up in shul one day, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after him. God like investigates. Hey, where is he? How come he's not with minyan? If he's going for a dvar mitzvah, so God says that's okay. But if you didn't show up in shul for a dvar rishus, so then you're going to suffer. That's like Aaron Brachos Daf Vav says. So the Netziv writes in his Merome Soda there on Brachos that the Pshat in the Gemara is that davening with a minyan is a minhag. It's not required by Ikar Hadin. It's a minhag in order to enhance our tefillah, to make our tefillos be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. And when the minhag, right, if I'm not in shul, I'm not davening with a minyan because I'm doing a mitzvah, so that means that the minhag of shul is interfering with Ikar Hadin, so the minhag falls by the wayside. That's the same shtickle Torah that we're trying to say. This idea is really in the tshuva of the Galya Masechta that I gave out to you guys. The Galya Masechta is Reb David of Nevardik. Reb David of Nevardik in the tshuva in Siman Daled, he basically says the idea that he thinks Chumrah Reb Zeira is a minhag. And because Chumrah Reb Zeira is a minhag, when it interferes with the Ikar Hadin, as Rav Gustman understands, in the Gaim Masechta, so you could be Mekel. But Reb David Nevardik explains this in more lumdish terms. He says the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Mamrim that usually Dinim Derabbanan have a lav of Lo Sasor, and then there is an assay also that's involved in Dinim Derabbanan Kechol Asher Yarucha. There's a lav and an assay on Dinim Derabbanan. Zakt Reb David of Nevardik, that's true only on Dinim Derabbanan that the rabbis instituted. But if you have a minhag that the people instituted and the rabbis didn't institute it, so b'kahai gavna, it doesn't apply. Right? There's no lav of loisasar and there's no assay of kechol asher yarucha in that situation. Why? Because it's not really a din d'rabbanan. The rabbis aren't instituting it. The people did it themselves. It's damazoy minhag. It's damazoy minhag. There's no loisasar. That's what Reb David Nevardik says, and that's how he explains Tosis and Brachis in terms of whether a katan can be motzi a gadol. Tosis says a katan can't be motzi a gadol with mikra megillah, but a katan can be motzi a gadol with birchas hamazon ad kazayis ad kebeitza. Why? Tosis says, oh, because that's a din hey mechmiol atzman ad kazayis ad kebeitza. Meaning, say that's not something the rabbi said to do. That's something that the people decided on their own. So there's no lo sasar, there's no kechol asher yarucha, so that's why it's a lower level din, and that's why a katan can be motzi a gadol. So Reb David Nevardik has this whole fancy shtickle Torah, and he says, oh, by the way, you should know, right? What emerges from this fancy shtickle Torah is that maybe you could be make on cases of orthodox infertility. If you look at Chacham Ovadia Yosef, Zichrono Levracha, on page Chavches in the Torah Sabayis, so Chacham Ovadia feels that we shouldn't paskin like the Galya Masechta. And there are two reasons not to paskin like the Galya Masechta. First of all, we might not hold that Chumrah Reb Zeira is a minhag. The pashtus is that the Ravid holds that way, the Bahamar holds that way. But Rav HaRishonim, the Ramban, and the Sefer HaChinuch, and the Ritva, and the Rashba has two days, right? Rav HaRishonim assume that's L'chol HaPachos some sort of Din Zerabbanon. That's point one. Pashtus also is that the Gemara assumes that it's not just a minhag. The Gemara at the beginning of Perk Ein Omdin says that Chumrah Reb Zeira Ein Odin L'Hispala Elo Mitoch Halacha Psuka. What's a Halacha Psuka? A real Halacha! Halacha Psuka. What is that? Chumrah Reb Zeira is a Halacha Psuka, according to the Gemara. That means that it's not Stamazay a minhag. It's a Halacha Psuka. Right? It's something that we instituted. That's one reason to disagree with the Gaya Masechta. The other reason to disagree with the Gaya Masechta is that this cheshbon only makes sense if we also solve the takana of Rebbe Sheva Sados. You see, Rebbe says if you see for 3 days you need Shiva Nekiyim, because maybe you're a Zava, no? Chumrah Reb, right? Maybe I don't hold the Chumrah Reb Zeira, it's all Zayib, but don't I have to contend with Chumrah of Rebbe Sheva Sados? If you look in Rav Gustman's presentation at the end of the Kuntrasei Shirim and Kedushin, Rav Gustman says, yeah, in a situation that there's no chashash of Ziva. Now, what that means, I think, is that he is really worried that you're going to be a Zava. Why might I be a Zava? Perhaps because of the Rambam that we spoke about last time we learned. There might be ways of making some calculations to make sure that you're not a Zava. It's a little bit complicated. If you look in Reb Nissen Telushkin's Taharas Habayis, I think it's on page Shin, He quotes from the Sefer Machshavos Be'etzah, a few etzas of figuring out that you're definitely not a Zava. Perhaps you have to do that. But that's only true if we really take the Rambam seriously about Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva. If I don't take the Rambam seriously about Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva, right? So then, even if I have 3 days, L'cha'ora Me'ikar Hadin, all you require is what? What you require is wait until the end of 7. We assume it's a nida. Wait till the end of 7, then go to the mikvah, then all is going to be good. This is also important. It's not Torah, but we'll say it anyway. The Reform movement a few years ago decided to try to have a push for the mitzvah of Taras HaMishpacha. So somebody wrote a whole article in the Reform Judaism magazine about how meaningful she finds it. I thought it's beautiful. Jewish women are keeping Taras HaMishpacha. Then they write, oh, by the way, we found an article written by a certain far left, quote unquote, Orthodox writer who pointed out that according to biblical law, you only have to wait 7 days and there's no requirement of clean days, etc. And maybe in cases of difficulty, this is what you should do. So that's what this woman decided to do. And that's a terrible thing. That's Rashi. That's exactly against Chumra de Reb Zeira. It's the Gemara, but Nisar Chumra Atzman. It's Halacha Psuka, like the Gemara says. It's a terrible thing. Reform Judaism magazine ended up picking up on this just through the back door. What can we do? Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening and for being entertained by my jokes.